And you're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Fiona Patten, MP from the Reason Party, on the line. G'day, Fiona. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks, Annie.
Yeah, thanks very much for talking to me about this. The Religious Freedom Bill, which the obnoxious LNP National Federal Government is proposing, is just an absolute wicked undermining of the anti-discrimination process in Australia, it seems to me. Can you give us some understanding of your views on the matter?
Look, they're not different from yours, Annie. This is really a wicked piece of legislation, and it's really about dividing our community, not bringing it together, as you would hope most pieces of anti-discrimination legislation achieve. So it's in two parts, effectively. The first part is protecting people from being discriminated against for their religion or for their lack of religion. And that's not particularly controversial. In fact, most states already have those protections in their legislation. It's the second part, which is around protecting statements of belief. And that means that if you believe that people with a disability are a sign that, you know, the sign that God hates them, or that God hated their families, or that they're filled with the devil, or, you know, any such ludicrous comment, you can make those comments.
I'm very medieval approach to an understanding of the world. I mean, it seems unbelievable to most people that anybody could hold those views, but people do.
That's right. And it feels unbelievable in the 21st century that we would protect people who say things like that, who use that form of hate speech to other members of our society. In Victoria, we don't tolerate that. But this bill would override Victoria's legislation. And it also has this circumstance where it enables and enshrines the ability for religious organisations to discriminate against people on the grounds of religion.
Isn't that extraordinary? And also a whole range of other things, like sexual preference, if they are in a same-sex marriage. It's been said that one of the reasons for why this bill has been brought forward is because fundamentalist Christians that basically are a support base for our present Prime Minister feels completely undone by the marriage equality bill and its success, and that they feel that they've lost the moral high ground.
Well, they never had it.
No, well, so that's right.
They never had it.
Yeah, because there's that argument that people used to always have, which is that you can't have any ethics unless you're religious,
And you know, we've had a royal commission into significant child sexual abuse in religious institutions. There is not a moral high ground there. We've seen groups like even the church that the Prime Minister's involved in, Hillsong, being involved in commercial rorts, but also covering up sex crimes. So no moral high ground for them. However, you're absolutely right that this was the payment. This was the promise after marriage equality legislation passed, that they would do this, that they could enshrine the right to be a bigot and the right to be, frankly, an asshole to people who, as you say, who are gay, people who are divorced, people who have a disability. It's this situation where an aged care facility could advertise for staff and say no Jews or Muslims need apply.
Which is like taking us back to the early wider Australia days of Irish need not apply.
Exactly, Annie. I mean, I can't believe that in 2022 any organisation would think that that was acceptable, and that would feel that they needed the right to be so horrible. So in those religious institutions, it will also extend to provide in some circumstances to providing services.
Oh, that's outrageous.
It's completely outrageous. It doesn't. It would also mean that students who, may have an unwanted pregnancy or who are same-sex attracted or maybe trans, they could all be expelled from school. So this is forcing people. This would be forcing kids back into the closet. It's just appalling, and you just can't understand why anyone would want this legislation. And my understanding is most religious institutions don't want it.
Yeah, it's social determinism, isn't it?
It is. And it's not something that most of our churches and religious organisations have even asked for. This is really coming out of a small part of the religious community and being really driven by the Australian Christian lobby.
Now, that's a very interesting point. The business about shielding themselves with this draconian legislation behind the protecting of religious freedom. So, for example, when there was the attacks on, they started to accumulate the data around attacks on Muslim people, Muslim women in particular, because of, they stick out because of their dress, perhaps. It was the women that were looking into this were finding it difficult to be able to protect themselves through the law using the discrimination anti-discrimination law, because it was quite specific about protecting people for their religious belief, but not in any other way. So, in actual fact, the anti-discrimination laws already protect people's religious freedom.
That's exactly right, that's trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. We already, as you quite rightly say, we already have very strong protections for people against discrimination on the grounds of their race and religion. In fact, in Victoria, our vilification legislation only protects people on the grounds of their race and religion.
That's right.
It doesn't protect you from being vilified because of your sex, because of your sexuality, because of your disability, because of your gender, etc. So, I've actually put up legislation to extend our vilification laws, but haven't been successful to date. But even if I was, while this legislation doesn't go as far as vilification, it certainly removes some of the protections that we have in our Victorian laws, and in many ways not just overrides them, but almost redefines what discrimination is, because they're saying it can't be discrimination if I have a statement of belief. So the Attorney General here quite rightly has committed to challenging this on in the High Court if necessary.
Oh, that's good. That's good, because it's not actually reflecting the opinion of the majority of Australians, quite clearly. Or people wouldn't have voted for, same-sex marriage.
That's exactly right. And I think, one of the troubling things about this is that the ALP may support this piece of legislation because they're fearful that they're losing a sort of a far-right religious rump. Now, I would suggest that they reflect on that and consider the fact that most religious institutions are not interested in this legislation. Most religious institutions do not find it necessary to discriminate against people on any grounds, and most religious institutions would fight against that. So I think
So what you say that they're more grown up?
Yeah, yeah. And, and this is just really pandering to a small, you know, relatively extreme religious rump. You know, it's the Hillsongs, it's the evangelical churches, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's the people who are really kind of, you know, on the fringes in many ways.
Oh, and also organisations that actually don't allow all their members to vote. They don't agree with voting. That's, you know, right, like the Brethren exactly don't believe that people should vote.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So yeah, it's a good point, Annie. I mean, the ALP aren't going to win any votes from that, are they?
No.
But I think it does set a dangerous precedent, and the fact that that a federal government would see fit to override state discrimination legislation, and actively, like it's in the legislation that this bill will override state anti-discrimination legislation. This is probably one of the most troubling aspects of this legislation, is that the federal government would seek to do that and would feel that they had the right to do that when, as you say, Australians don't want this legislation. Australians don't want to see this type of discrimination against our LGBTIQ community, against women, against people from different religions or no religion.
It's really disgraceful. Like you say, it's disgraceful. And this LNP federal government's use of legislative mechanisms to sort of institute sort of draconian dictatorship type laws is, they've got a precedent, haven't they?
They do. This is not the first time. And I mean, you I'm no fan of Victoria's terrorism laws, but you look at the federal terrorism laws and they are some of the most draconian in the world. You know, the way that we can hold people without charge, we can hold people without legal representation, we can hold people without telling
forever.
Their families. That's right. That's right. And you know, obviously looking at our asylum seeker legislation and policies, where we have an appalling human rights record there as well. I think they're on the wrong side of history, but I don't think that these policies are in line with the community. I think the community is far more compassionate than that. I don't feel it. I know it.
Yeah.
That the community is far more compassionate.
It's so mean, isn't it? It's so mean.
And I think one of the ironies of this is that those that would support this legislation, those that would have been advocating and lobbying the Prime Minister to bring this legislation on, are also the ones that are opposing the vaccine mandate. And many of them have indicated that they're not going to vote. They're going to abstain from voting for anything until vaccine mandates are overturned. So by some strange thing, this legislation may not get through because the people who wanted it refused to vote.
And before I let you go, you say that in 2019 you debated the Australian Christian Lobby's Martin Eales at the Isles at the National Press Club on Religious Freedom Bill, and it was evident those on the other side of the issue actually believed the bill didn't go far enough.
Yep. They really thought that it didn't go far enough, that they should have an absolute right to discriminate against people if their so-called God told them that it was okay. And that basically that they were, you know, almost on a mission to dismantle any discrimination legislation. In fact, even vilification legislation, they felt,
Well, they could murder people.
Almost, yeah. I mean, to be fair, or well, not fair, but to note that the bill that's before the House now is considerably watered down to the bill that came before the House in 2019. So they have removed a lot of those elements. The things like the Falau clause, as it was called, which would prohibit employers from being able to put up acceptable codes of conduct and acceptable codes such as, you know, not discriminating against people and not vilifying people on the grounds of their race, religion, sex, gender, sexuality, etc. And that clause has been removed, but it still allows religious organisations the right to be abusive, to be offensive, to publish hate speech, and it still allows their followers to do the same.
Thanks for talking to us this morning. It's very disturbing to think that we have this tumour in our society.
I know. It's really troubling to think that anyone would want this legislation.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, particularly now, and we've all had really tough 2 years, right now we would want, you know, you'd want to be seeing legislation that brought people together, not tore them apart. And I think this legislation really is designed to divide our community rather than bring it together.
And really what your advice would be to focus on the good. You know, if people are confused about this rhetoric that it's about freedom, they should actually just understand that it depends on whose freedom they're talking about.
Well, that's right. It's overriding another person's freedom to provide that freedom to a select group of Australians. And I think that, you know, that is not fit for purpose. That is not what Australians want right now. I think there's a good chance that it'll be sent off to a committee and
lost and will disappear down the drain of committee town.
The Prime Minister has done what he needed to do. He's introduced the bill. He did it personally, which is highly unusual. And that now he can say to his congregation and to his religious followers that he has done this, and in all likelihood, well, maybe I'm being hopeful, but in all likelihood, I don't think we will see it being voted on before the election.
You know, it's funny you should say his religious followers. I mean, who does he think he is?
You're not the Messiah, you're just a naughty little boy.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for talking to us, eh?
Thanks, Annie.